Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Good Morning Live. I'm so glad that you are with me today. Go ahead and let me know exactly where you're watching from this morning. You can put it in the comments if you're watching on a platform that you can do that. Man, I always love seeing where our Good Morning Live family is joining us from. Now, maybe some of you are sitting back, relaxed, watching with a coffee in hand. Maybe you're already at work this morning, and maybe you're already watching, but you're trying to get your kids ready for school or packing lunches or trying to get everybody out the door without losing your salvation before 9 a.m. Well, if that's you, I'm praying for extra grace over your house this morning. I know these long weekends sometimes can get everybody out of rhythm and out of routine, but I know God is going to help us today. And let me say this right at the beginning. Don't just have this on in the background today. I need you to lean in a little bit. Why? Because sometimes one word from God can adjust the whole direction of your day. I know that one verse can bring clarity. One revelation of Jesus can lift heaviness off of your heart. One reminder from the word can put strength back in your spirit. So before we get into it, take a second, share this broadcast, tag somebody who needs a little encouragement today, send it to somebody who maybe has made following Jesus much more complicated than it needs to be, because that's what I want to talk to you about today, following Jesus. And I want to begin with a pretty simple thought. And it's this, that following Jesus was never meant to be complicated. Now, listen, I know we complicate it. Church people can really complicate it. Come on, let's just be honest. Sometimes we can take something Jesus made simple and put 14 layers of religious language on top of it until people don't even know where to start anymore. You've been there. Religion's complicated it. Tradition, you know, your mind overcomplicates it. Your past overcomplicates it. Your emotions get involved. And sometimes the enemy doesn't even have to get you to walk away from Jesus. He just has to get you overwhelmed enough that you stop taking the next step. But listen, Jesus never complicated it. When Jesus called people, He did not give them a 27-step program before they could begin. I'm doing this whole live today because yesterday, you know, or not yesterday, but Sunday when we were ministering, when I was preaching at Hope City Church, you know, I just really just kind of felt that sometimes, you know, we're looking for something deeper and God's saying, listen, before you go fix everything about yourself and then come, right? He just said, follow me. He didn't say, understand every doctrine, answer every question, overcome every weakness, memorize the minor prophets and learn Greek and Hebrew, and then maybe you can follow me. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of those things, right? But Jesus simply said to people, follow me. That's simple. That's direct. That's powerful. And honestly, I thank God that is good news for all of us. Because some mornings you don't feel like you have a 27-step program in you. Am I preaching to anybody else this morning? Some mornings you're just trying to find your keys. Some mornings you're just trying to find your peace. And some mornings you're just trying to find your coffee cup. But Jesus meets us right there. Right in those moments and says, follow me, take the next step. Respond to the word you have. Obey the light that you've been given. And sometimes the most powerful things in the kingdom of God are the simple things we just continually obey. Listen, we don't grow because we know everything. We grow because we respond to what God has shown us. We don't move forward because we have the whole roadmap laid out. No. We move forward because we obey the next instruction. And I want to say this right at the beginning. You do not have to know every step to take the next step. Man, somebody needs that today. You may not know every single thing God is doing. You may not know how everything is going to work out. You may not know what the next 6 months look like. You may not even know how this week is going to come together. Your family's like mine. We're on our final week of school and everybody's prepping, you know, for, I think our kids get out June 2nd, but the final full week of school here. And, you know, it just the energy in the house because everybody's ready, right? So some of us don't even know how our weeks are going to come together. But listen, you can take the next step. You can obey what God has already spoken. You can respond to the word you already have. And that is where following Jesus begins. So today I want to bring us back to Jesus. Not religious ideas about Jesus, not cultural opinions about him. Not the Jesus people create so they can stay comfortable. Not the Jesus that people use to justify, you know, sometimes staying stuck where they are, but the Jesus revealed to us in Scripture. Because the Jesus you behold is the Jesus you will follow. I'm going to say that again. The Jesus you behold is the Jesus you will follow. If your view of Jesus is small, then guess what? Your faith will be small. If your view of Jesus is distorted, then guess what? Your walk with him will be unstable. But when you see Jesus clearly, come on, that's when faith rises, confidence rises. Obedience becomes possible to us. Joy returns to our life. Purpose returns. So I want to begin today in the Gospel of Mark. And in this series over the next few weeks, we're going to walk through the Gospel of Mark. I don't want to call it verse-by-verse teaching because the last time I tried to do that on Good Morning Live, you know me, I start expounding and 20 stories later, and before I know it, our time is almost up. So I'm going to try to be, real transparent here as I can. I'm going to try to do verse-by-verse teaching through the Gospel of Mark, introducing us to the real Jesus, but we might skip some verses along the way, right? But Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is one verse, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But come on, that verse is loaded with revelation. Mark does not start slowly here. He does not ease into what he's going to share with us. He opens his gospel by declaring exactly who this gospel is about. This is, there's no question. This is about Jesus Christ. This gospel is about the Son of God. This is about the gospel, the good news. This is about the one who came to save and heal and restore and deliver and bring us into life. So today, I want us to do exactly what Mark is inviting us to do. Come back to that simple declaration that this is about Jesus. Today, we meet Jesus again. So we must know what Jesus we are following. Now, let me say this plainly. Not every person who uses the name of Jesus is talking about the Jesus of the Bible. Come on, you don't have to scroll very far on social media today or go down too many rabbit trails on TikTok before you find, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like Jesus, but they're using the name of Jesus. Paul very clearly warned the church about this. 2 Corinthians 1:4, he said, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus from whom we have not preached, you may well put up with it. Notice that phrase, another Jesus. That means there can be a version of Jesus preached that is not the Jesus of Scripture. That means there can be a Jesus that people actually invent. There can be a Jesus that people reduce There can be a Jesus that people somehow reshape to fit their preferences. Someone, a Jesus who, you know, never corrects them. Someone, a Jesus who never confronts them. Someone, a Jesus who never requires surrender. And someone, Jesus, who exists only to bless their plans, but never lead their lives. But that is not the Jesus of Scripture. And then there are others who only want to see Jesus as harsh and distant, angry. They think Jesus is always against them, always disappointed, always ready to push them away. But again, this is not the Jesus of Scripture either. The real Jesus is full of grace and truth. The real Jesus, he is merciful, but holy. He's compassionate, but he's still Lord. He forgives sin, but he also frees people from that sin that keeps them bound. He receives the broken, yes, but come on, he does not leave them broken. He loves you where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. That is the real Jesus. And today you have to settle this in your heart that I'm not going to follow a Jesus of human opinion. I'm going to follow the Jesus who was revealed in the Word. I always said that, you know, sometimes people, you know, try to get the Word of God to say something that it doesn't to say to justify their lifestyle. They try to reduce Jesus or change Jesus to make him conform to what they want. I would just say, leave Jesus alone in that regard. If you don't like what the Bible, if you don't like what this book says, then come on, then make your own book. Make your own gospel. Make your own faith. But don't try to change the words of this book to somehow, you know, match a lifestyle that you want to live. Right, I'm going to follow the Jesus that is revealed in this word, because the word is where faith comes from. I'm not following a Jesus who's built and based around my feelings or my opinions, a Jesus that culture agrees with. I'm not going to follow a Jesus who's birthed out of religious tradition, but faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's what Romans 10:17 says. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want strong faith, you need a word-shaped view of Jesus. You need to see what the word says. You need to believe what the word says. You need to say what the word says. You need to walk in the light of what the word says, because the Jesus of the word is the Jesus who heals. The Jesus of the word is the Jesus who saves. The Jesus of the word is the Jesus who restores. Come on, the Jesus of the word is the Jesus who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. The Jesus of the word is the Jesus who has all authority in heaven and on earth. And that is the Jesus, come on, that I want to follow. And I know that's the Jesus that you want to follow. So I follow the Jesus of the word. I believe the Jesus of the word. I receive from the Jesus of the word. I obey the Jesus of the word. That matters, because listen, what you believe about Jesus determines what you are able to receive from him. Man, I could preach here all day. God's never holding out on his people. He's never set us up to, live this life where, maybe we can convince him. He says, all of the promises of this book are yours. It's simply what you believe about him will determine what you can receive from him. I don't got time to preach there all day, but come on, we got to get that. And then today, we got to know that the gospel is good news, not heavy news. What does Mark 1:1 say? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That word gospel literally means, if you translate it out, literally means good news. Not bad news, not sad news, not shame news, not condemnation news, but good news. And I want to say this because sometimes people, they've heard religion. but they've not heard the gospel. Religion comes in and says, do more, try harder, maybe God will accept you. But what the gospel says, Jesus has come, Jesus has died, Jesus has risen, Jesus has made a way. Religion says, come on, you're never enough. But the gospel says, Christ is enough. Religion steps in and says, what? Stay ashamed. The gospel says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So that is good news. And good news ought to produce joy. Good news should give us confidence, produce expectation. The gospel does not make you weak. The gospel makes you bold. The gospel doesn't make you afraid of God. The gospel brings you near to God. The gospel does not leave you under the weight of sin. But what does it do? The gospel announces that that Jesus bore that weight for you. 1 Corinthians 15 says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he who was buried and that rose again on the third day, according to the scripture. That is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again. Now, I know that you might be thinking, man, this is all simple, but listen, I need you to hear this. The gospel is not first about what you do for God. Why we're talking about this today. That's why I know it's simple. I know it's plain. I know it's entry level here, but we got to come back to this. The gospel did not start with what you do for God. The gospel is first about what Jesus has done for you. You cannot receive from God properly if you think everything begins with you, if the sun rises and sets with you. It begins with Jesus. It begins with his finished work. It begins with his blood, his resurrection, his victory. And now because he has conquered, you can stand in what he has provided for you. And this is why believers need to stop talking like defeated people. You are not defeated. You are not trying to get victory. That's not the gospel. Jesus has already won the victory. We are not trying to earn righteousness. Jesus has made us righteous. We're not trying to convince God to love us. God has already demonstrated his love through Christ. What did Romans 5:8 say? But God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And friends, that is good news. And you need to let that good news affect your face. I'm just going to say it plain. You need to let good news affect your attitude. You need to let good news affect your confession. Good news needs to affect the way you walk today. Because listen, if Jesus is alive, remember last week or the week before, we talked about Christ in me, the guarantee of manifested excellency, the hope of glory. If Christ is in me, it changes everything, right? So listen, because if Jesus is alive, you are not hopeless. If Jesus is Lord, you are not abandoned. If Jesus has saved you, your past does not get the final word. So the gospel's not God telling you to climb higher. It is God announcing that Jesus came all the way down to lift you up. He came all the way down to lift you up, to do what we could not do on our own. So today, Jesus is not just teacher. Jesus is Savior. Mark calls him Jesus Christ. Jesus is his name, but Christ is his title. Jesus means the Lord saves. Listen, that means salvation is not a side issue. It is central to who he is. The angel told Joseph, Matthew 1:21, what did he say? And you will, to Joseph. And it said, she will bring forth a son, and you are to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save, not just inspire, not just improve, but he will save. That means Jesus came with power to rescue, to deliver, to forgive, to restore, to bring you out of darkness and into light. Now listen carefully. You cannot reduce Jesus to a good example. A good example cannot wash away sin. A good example cannot break the power of death. A good example cannot make you a new creation. A good example cannot give you eternal life. So Jesus is not just a good example. He is Savior. Yes, we follow his example. Yes, we walk as he walked. Yes, we learn from his life. But first, we receive his finished work. You do not become saved because you imitate Jesus well enough, right? You are saved because you believe on him. What do we know? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him. Friends, that is where life begins. And I want to say this to somebody today watching. Stop trying to save yourself. Stop trying to fix yourself in your own strength. Stop trying to make yourself worthy. Today, just simply receive Jesus. Believe Jesus. Surrender to Jesus. Trust Jesus. He is Savior. I love that because it means he's good at saving. He knows how to reach you. He knows how to restore you. He knows how to bring you out. He knows how to put your feet back on solid ground. And when Jesus saves, come on, he does not do incomplete work. Hebrews 7:25, therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. I love that verse. Save to the uttermost. That means he does not barely save. He does not partially save. He saves completely and fully. He saves thoroughly. So don't limit his saving power to your past. He can save your mind and your family and your future. He can save your purpose and your shame. He can save you from cycles you've been repeating. He can save you from the thing that you thought would always define you. Why? Because his name is Jesus and he saves. And not only is his name Jesus, he was given the title Christ, the anointed one. By Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christ means Messiah or the anointed one. The anointing actually means burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Messiah means the sent one, the appointed one by God, the one empowered by the Spirit, the one promised through the prophets, the one Israel was waiting for, the one heaven sent, the one hell could not stop. Jesus is the Christ. Now, when you hear Christ, do not hear it like it's his last name. It is not Jesus Christ, like first name, last name. It is Jesus the Christ, Jesus the anointed one, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the King. And because he is the anointed one, everything connected to bondage has to bow in his name. Everything. He said, I'll save you to the uttermost. What sickness? It has to bow. Demons had to bow. Storms have to bow. Death doesn't stand a chance. It has to bow. Sin can't hold you forever. It has to bow. Religion and religious pride has to bow. Every curse has to bow. Come on, because the anointed one came carrying the power of heaven. Peter said it this way, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That is Jesus, anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, if you want to know what Jesus is like,
Look at that verse.
He went around doing good. Come on. He healed, he delivered, he lifted, he restored, he revealed the goodness of God. So don't let religion convince you that Jesus is the author of your oppression. No, Jesus is the one who destroys oppression. So don't let religion convince you that Jesus is withholding goodness from you. No, he went about doing good. Don't let the enemy convince you that Jesus is distant from your pain. No, he came near. He touched the sick. He opened the blinded eye. He cleansed the leper. He raised the dead. He forgave sinners. He restored failures. I'm preaching good in this studio this morning. Come on, somebody. And he is the same today. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. That means the Jesus of the Gospels is still Jesus now. He is the healer now. He is the Savior now. He still delivers. The Restorer is still the Restorer. The Anointed One is still the Anointed One. And your part is just simply to believe. Receive Him, obey Him, follow Him. The anointing on Jesus is greater than the oppression that has tried to sit on your life. So Jesus is the Son of God. Mark does not just simply say Jesus Christ. He says Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And listen, that is not a small statement. That is not a polite religious title that we have given. This is a declaration of his deity. Jesus is God the Son, God in the flesh, the eternal Word made flesh. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And this is the wonder of Jesus. God came, God stepped into time, God took on flesh, God walked among men, God revealed himself to us. And that means Jesus is not just one voice among many. He is not just one teacher among many. He is not just one prophet among many prophets. He is the Son of God. And when Peter saw him clearly, he said, Matthew 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the confession, the revelation. That is the foundation. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, why does this matter? Because if Jesus is the Son of God, then his word carries authority. His blood carries power. His name carries dominion. His resurrection changes everything. So you can't, if he's the Son of God, you cannot treat Jesus casually when you see him clearly. When you see him as the Son of God, worship rises, faith rises. Reverence comes about. Obedience rises. You stop asking, how little can I give him and still be okay? No, you start saying, Lord, all that I am belongs to you. And this is what revelation does. Revelation produces surrender. Not for surrender, but joyful surrender. Because when you really see Jesus, come on, you realize there is no safer place than under his lordship. There is no better life than following him. There is no higher wisdom than simply obeying him. There is no greater joy than knowing him. The more clearly you see Jesus, the more gladly you surrender to him. The word revealed Jesus. Now, Mark in this gospel immediately connects Jesus to what was written about the prophets. Mark chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he says, as it is written in the prophets, I wanted to say pamphlets, I don't know why, prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. That phrase matters, as it is written. Mark is not giving us human opinion. He is pointing us to what is written. This is what believers must live. not what they feel, not what people say, not what circumstances suggest, not what fear imagines, but what is written. Jesus himself defeated the devil by saying, Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So it is written. That is, it is how you answer your fear. It is written. That is how you answer condemnation. It is written. When sickness comes knocking on the door, that's how you answer sickness. It is written. That's how you answer lack. It is written. You have become a believer who values what is written more than what is felt. Why? Because we know that feelings change, circumstances change, people change, but the word of God does not change. The Psalms say, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. The word is settled in heaven. Now it needs to be settled in your heart. That is where stability comes from. That is where spiritual strength comes from. That is where confidence comes from. You settle the word in your heart. You say, this is what God said, and this is where I stand. The Old Testament pointed to Jesus. The prophets pointed to Jesus. The promises pointed to Jesus. Sacrifices pointed to Jesus. The Passover lamb pointed to Jesus. The whole Bible points to Jesus. And that's why John said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. The scriptures testifies of Jesus, of him. So when you open your Bible, you're not just reading ancient words. You are receiving revelation of a living Christ. You are beholding the one who saves, beholding the one who heals. You are beholding the one who reigns, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as you behold him, you are changed. Now listen, all of this brings us to a question. If Jesus is the Christ, if Jesus is the Son of God, if the gospel is good news, if the word reveals him, then what is our response? But we follow. We believe. We obey. We receive. We take the next step. We understand that faith isn't passive. Faith responds. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew, they left their nets. When he called Matthew, he got up from the tax booth. When Jesus spoke to the sick, they received healing. When Jesus spoke to the bound, devils had to leave. When Jesus spoke to the dead, Lazarus came up. Come on. The word of Jesus always calls for a response. And somebody today is waiting on the word to do something while God is waiting for you to respond to what he has already said. You don't need a new word if you have a word that you haven't obeyed. You don't need a new revelation if there's light you have not already walked in and responded to. Come on. The next step is powerful. The next step might look small, but obedience is never small. It might be to forgive, to pray, to give, to serve, to return, to speak the word, to get back to church, to open your Bible, to make the phone call, to take the step. But whatever it is, do what he told you to do. Because momentum begins with obedience, and the enemy wants to keep you stuck by making the next step seem insignificant. But come on, small obedience opens big doors. Your next step may look small, but obedience is never small in the kingdom of God. So today, this is what we started with. Don't overcomplicate it. Meet Jesus again. See him in his word. Believe what he says. Receive what he has done. Obey what he is speaking. Follow him, not someday, not when everything makes sense, not when you feel ready, because the call of Jesus is still the same. Follow me. So before I pray, I want to take a moment and talk to our Good Morning Live family. Why? Because this kind of teaching is why Pioneer Channel and the Pioneer Network exist. We are not just trying to create Christian content. We are carrying the word of God through every open door the Lord gives us. So every broadcast, every app, every platform, every program, We're in the process now of starting a brand new program on the channel called Pioneer Now. But every morning we come on Good Morning Live, and the goal is simple. Help people see Jesus. Help people grow in the Word. Help people take their place in what God has called them to do. And so this morning, I want to challenge you. When you become a Pioneer Media partner, you are helping us do that. You are helping us preach the gospel. You are helping us strengthen believers. You are helping us reach homes, family. You didn't know the Pioneer Channel reaches every military base, U.S. embassy, and warship around the globe. So every military member, people watching on apps, people watching on television, people who may never walk into a church building, but they can still be reached by the Word of God. And listen, that matters. And I believe there are people watching who are called to stand with this assignment, not just to watch it, but to stand with it, to help carry it, to help fund it, to help send it. So this morning, no pressure, but if the Lord is speaking to your heart, then today you can just take that one next step, go to ptnnow.com and become a Pioneer Media partner. Whatever God puts on your heart to do, do it in faith. And to every partner already giving and praying and standing with us, I just want to say thank you. You are helping us tell the story of Jesus every way possible. Amen. So thank you again. Thank you for being obedient. If the Lord's leading you to do that, for those who have already done it, thank you. Now let me pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Word. We thank you that Jesus is not hidden from us. He has been revealed in Scripture. He is the Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. He is Lord. He is the Anointed One. And today we receive him. We receive him with fresh revelation. And I pray for every person watching, where confusion has been, let clarity come. Where heaviness has been, let joy come. Where there's been condemnation, let the power of the gospel break that off. Where fear has been, let faith rise. Where people have been stuck, show them the next step and give them grace to obey. Lord, we do not want to simply know about Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. We want to follow him. We want to walk with him. We want to live by his word. And right now, if you're watching and you need to give your life to Jesus, then simply pray this prayer from your heart. Say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. I receive you as my Savior. I surrender to you as Lord. Forgive me. Make me new. I choose to follow you from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being with me today on Good Morning Live. And remember this, you do not have to worry about every step to take your next step. Just follow Jesus. Just open the Word, believe what he said, obey what he's speaking, and take the next step. Remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
Good Morning Live is made possible by the prayers and generosity of faithful partners and friends like you. Thank you for helping us proclaim Jesus, encourage believers, and impact lives around the world. To learn more, visit ptnnow.com.